Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, March 20th, 2025, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Into Action on page 84, the third paragraph. And we have ceased fighting through one paragraph ending as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And we'll comment on that one paragraph. So today's readers are for the 12 steps, AF, the 12 traditions, Maria H. And then our readers of the text this morning will be Tamara C. and Tony B. Our newcomer greeters, Reva P., and our second, our host, is Eileen M. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, March 19th, are as follows. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,266, that's 22266. And then the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,267, 22267. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Patty S. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food that allowed us to become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked them to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty S. And I will now ask Maria H. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Lindsay. Good morning. It's Maria H. in Georgia. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, our OA group ought to be fully, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you, Maria H. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So this morning, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Into Action on page 84, the third paragraph. And we have ceased fighting through one paragraph ending as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So I will now ask Tamara C. to get us started. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Missouri. It says, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Okay, well, I used to hate these promises. I would get so mad because they weren't coming true for me. When I was white knuckling my abstinence, I would sit in the meeting and we would open to the Big Book. That was the only way pretty much that we used the Big Book, was to turn to the promises and read the promises. And I just thought they were program promises, even though we called them 10-step promises. But that just didn't click with me. I thought, I'm working my program, I'm going to meetings, I'm making phone calls, I'm using all the tools, I'm abstinent. These promises are supposed to be coming true for me, and they are not. I had not ceased fighting. I thought that the life of an addict is this. Every day for the rest of my life, I use my willpower to fight that first bite so that I don't start triggering the cravings that come with that first bite. And I use meetings and my sponsor and all the tools and pick up the phone and fight the first bite, and this is my life. And that was miserable and it was exhausting. And I just thought that's the reality, a life of misery, pain, and self-pity. And then I had an awful relapse. I started going to meetings again. I found the vision meeting where we were actually studying the big book. And I came to understand, oh, these are the promises that are specific to working step 10 and following the directions in this paragraph just before this one that I just read. And I started hearing on the vision meeting this whole idea of food neutrality. And I thought, what, is that a thing? Like, really, you're abstinent and you're happy being abstinent? You're happy not eating your alcoholic foods? Is that possible? And so I, you know, went through the steps following these directions, and I found that this promise is coming true for me. When I practice this new way of navigating through my day, of taking things through the steps, navigating through my responses to my circumstances, there's this miraculous turnaround from fighting, resistance, chasing, driving, fixing, controlling, to this just flowing with reality. And I have been given relief from having to fight my way through my day and fight my way through controlling my food, and sanity returns. Just like Bill W. when he was on dangerous ground and then he thought of who could he help, and sanity returned. I love that. That's part of our 10-step instructions as well. I'll pass there. Thanks.
Thank you, Tamara C. in Missouri, for getting us started this morning. All right, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Carolyn S. from New York.
Tina S. Noah V. from
That's
Nevada.
Sure. Who was it from Nevada?
Carolyn S.
Genoa?
Genoa. Genoa.
Yep.
V is in Big John.
Mm-hmm. I've got you, Carolyn. I've got you, Genoa. Who else would like to share?
Roy C.
Tina S.
Janice PM.
Vasa. Oh.
Tina S.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
I got you, Tina. So I've got Carolyn, Genoa. I believe it's Roy or possibly Troy. Tina S., Janice PM, Vasa O., and Lisa B. So how about we get started with that lineup, and please remember to tell us where you're calling from. Carolyn S., followed by Genoa V. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hi, this is Carolyn S. from New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. And this whole chapter is amazing, but this paragraph, ceased fighting. I couldn't imagine not fighting. I fought for everything, and I thought that was the only way you could get something valuable. And now I've learned that that's not true. It's actually by surrendering myself to God and accepting my situation that gives me relief, that gives me joy even. In this paragraph, it says we will seldom be interested in liquor, and that's true for me with the food. It doesn't take up hours of my day the way it once did. Thank you, God. And this sentence, if tempted, meaning that it's not necessarily going to never happen, if tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. That's the recovered approach. We recoil. We don't want to get burned. But if you go back to page 24, it talks about how we cannot protect ourselves, that if we have thoughts about, you know, why we don't want to drink or eat, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. And this sentence, there is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. So these are the two extremes or the major difference here. On page 24, I can't even protect myself from the deep instinct not to hurt myself. I'm just putting my hand out there and saying, this hurts like hell, but you know what? It's better than whatever, and it's not. And when we recoil, you know, and protect ourselves, that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to be rolling around in the stinking emotions and kind of feeling sorry for ourselves because Why can't I have that? It's not fair. That's the classic, you know, the temper tantrum. And the thing is, and why me, right? Well, why not me? Everybody's got something from what my experience is over the years, and I've learned that even more in my 22 years in OA, because people are frank there because it's safe. And so I'm amazed when I hear how many other people suffer from other problems in my life besides overeating. And it gives me strength, and it reminds me that I'm one of many, you know, one grain of sand on an OA beach. Also one, you know, speck in the universe of all of humanity and whatever goes beyond that. So today I am very grateful to be focusing on the big book. This is where the answers are. It took me years to realize that. We have so much literature. I mean, we're lucky, but, you know, the big book was just one other thing. Now I realize it is the thing that tells me precisely how to recover and gives me a strategy and directions on how to do that. And so I'm hugely grateful for our vision and also for my higher power. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn S. in New York. And the next up is Genoa V, followed by Roy C. Go ahead, Genoa.
Good morning, everybody. Lindsay, thank you for your service. Genoa V in Nevada. This chapter, I came to OA and I have learned, more will be revealed, after having some abstinence and food neutrality, I had a relapse, and today is 11 days. And I want to tell you that as this chapter was being read, it is a miracle. It is an absolute miracle that when we turn to God, when we seek God, He runs to us and He is there. That dip I had into the food, it was a wake-up call. You know, just like the person that got us started talked about, I can get all this, but I got to do some work. And that is where I've always had the problem. I don't really want to work. I don't really want to do what you do. What I have come to understand over these 11 days, and I mean, this has been 11 days of complete abstinence, putting pen to paper, doing step 11, doing step 10, doing the work that you guys tell me works, that the book tells me it works. As long as I stay in fit spiritual condition, I'm not battling with the food. And I want to tell you, I'm not. In these 11 days, I have not. I've had food neutrality. What happened, or not what happened, but you know, it says when we will seldom be interested, you know, last Saturday, you know, my mind, I was sitting on the couch and my mind went into the kitchen and I said, oh, hell, I got to get moving. And I got up, move a muscle, change a thought. And as I got up and started moving and I prayed and I put myself in a position where God could speak to my heart and guide me, you know, He guided me. I got my book. I went to the park. I started writing. You know, I made phone calls. And guess what? I wasn't thinking about eating. It's amazing what happens. And, you know, I came to this program from AA, and I thought, you know what? I don't have to do all this. I didn't have to do all that in AA. And what I've learned is I didn't have to do all that because I still had food. So I didn't really have, I had a faux relationship with God. It was there a little bit, but I got, you know, I can control some stuff. You know, today, just for this moment, I give control of my life to God, just for this moment, you know, because when I get out there and worldly clamors start, but I'm trying to lay the foundation is what I'm saying. I'm trying to do the work before I get into those sticky situations. And so far, it's working. You guys were right. This works. It really does work. You know, one of the things that I thought would work before is I used to get to work early, sit in the parking lot, and listen to Harlan. I wasn't doing any work. I was just listening to Harlan. Okay, but anyway, thank you so much for letting me share. I love you guys so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Janela V. in Nevada. Next up is Roy C., followed by Tina F. Good morning, Roy, and I hope I got your name right, Roy or Troy. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, moderator. This is Troy C. from Florida. Shout out to Roy C. from New Jersey. I'm like the knockoff version of Roy C. I'm the version you get where, like, the dubbing is a little off and everything. Anyway, Troy C., recovering compulsive overeater in Florida. Wow, I'm so glad that I came after the person who just shared, because between that share and the lead share, absolutely incredible. I really have the experience of hearing the promises in meetings, especially in the beverage program, for many, many years, and sort of kind of like sometimes experiencing some of them once in a while, but not working the steps. Not working the steps. And now it really does make so much sense to me why I managed to white knuckle my way through sobriety in the other program. I still had the food. I still had the food. So now my experience in this program, I've, you know, white knuckled my way through about a year of abstinence without working the steps. And now I'm lucky enough to celebrate a year of abstinence last week, having worked the steps. And I can say unequivocally that these promises have come true. And what do you know? I've actually worked the steps, gee golly, and have a 10-step practice. And I regularly am around food that, I mean, it's cool that other people get to have it. It certainly looks good enough. And there's no temptation. That's mind-blowing to me. I remember shortly after I relapsed in early March of last year, it was such a close thing every time, you know, just begging and pleading and praying and calling and texting and doing everything I could do to stay away from that stuff. And now I really do have the experience of the temptation having been removed. I'm an analytical guy. I'm a sciencey guy. I like to be able to explain that the how and the why and the when. I don't know when that moved away from me. I don't know how it was removed from me. I just know I did the thing. I got the result. And I've come to a place, maybe God has removed from me even the urge to know the why. I heard in this meeting a long time ago that if I try to figure out this thing, I can deny myself the benefit of this thing. And I really embrace that. It makes this such an easier process for me. The instructions are laid out in a book that, you know, has been reader tested and reader approved for a long time now. I can just follow the directions and seek a relationship with my higher power and do what the steps tell me to do in the way that they're laid out in this book. And then I get the results. And that's it. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Troy C. from Florida. And we've got Tina S. followed by Janice PM. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks so much for your service. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow. Some great shares this morning. And I always get really grateful that, I'm certainly in the right place, certainly in the right place. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. You know, and everybody said it. You know, I didn't cease fighting anything, you know. For many, many years, you know, I did a lot of things that we do in Overeaters Anonymous, you know, but the one thing I never did was work the 12 steps. You know, I stayed away from sugar, I stayed away from flour, but I couldn't do it for very long, you know, because Tina was running the show. But what I like about this particular step is it takes me back to the AA 12 and 12. You know, when I'm disturbed, there's something wrong right here, and I get disturbed, let me just tell you. So if I'm not doing these few steps that it talks about in the 10th step. And the first one is that we ask God to remove it. You know, I sometimes want to get over that one. I want to talk about it to somebody. I want to see what they want about it, you know. But when I ask God to remove it, then I'm really doing this deal, you know. I initially ask God to remove it because I don't want to be in that place of I'm disturbed, you know, and it's nobody else that can take care of that, you know. God has to take care of that for me. And then it's what happens, you know, because it says, let me see where it says. At the end, it says, that is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. You know, God does this thing. You know, and I love that it was just shared. I didn't know when it happened. I just know it happened. I'd been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. You know, I remember the first time, not even the first time, but I remember when I'd go into a store and the bakery nauseated me. I was like, oh my God. And that is today. It nauseates me for whatever reason, grateful, but it, you know, and I used to live in the bakery, you know, but, you know, today, you know, I'm placed in a position of neutrality, but I got to keep doing this thing. You know, it's today. It's one day at a time. You know, I got to keep doing what I'm doing if I'm going to keep getting what I'm getting. And bottom line is I'm a satisfied customer. You know, I keep coming back because I'm a person of more also. So I want more of this thing called recovery. And I want to keep doing the deal. I want more of this God in my life. And I'll keep inviting him in. And this is some great stuff. So I'm really looking forward to hearing some more shares. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina S. in Florida. And then we've got Janice PM, followed by Vasa O. and Lisa B. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. I'm sorry. I'm doing my phone. All right. Good morning to you, and thank you, and good morning to everyone. This reading is it's unbelievable because it happens. You know, it's still happening to me because I'm growing, and I think this is what it's all about, to keep in fit spiritual condition. What does that mean to me? Well, I thought, well, after 9, everything is okay. I'm all finished. No, and you know, they do say, it's been around, that we have to, the 10, 11, and 12 are the maintenance steps. Well, they'll be maintenance steps, yes, but the real thing is to spiritually grow. And that's what it means. That's what all this means, because this has been given to us. This is a gift. As long as we continue to grow, you know, when I am disturbed, and believe you me, less disturbed than in the past, because my sanity has been returned. Not perfectly. I'm not cured. And you know, there's always a discussion: am I recovered or am I recovering? Well, what I understand it to be, through many studies and many decades, recovered refers to my mind. My mind controls what I do. So if I'm returned to sanity, I didn't do this by myself. I did it, and I'm doing it today, hopefully. The day isn't through yet. Through the practice of these 12 steps. That's what it says. We continue to grow, because I know in my heart that now I don't have a choice, because I've been received a gift from a higher power. And you know, when he does something, he does something, my higher power. And you know, I don't have a problem with obsessing about food. I'm restless. And, you know, I do, I'm a human being. I have problems with, you know, my actions, but I know where to go. I go and do this 10th step like I did steps 4 through 9 before step 10. And that relieves a lot of undue burdensome fears and undue anxieties that I may have during the day. And you know what? It really works when I see myself. This is for me. It's not for you. That's
Janet, that's time.
Thing. Okay, I appreciate that. So it's all about continuing fixing me with the help of the higher power and these steps. With that, I pass. Thank you very much. Bye now.
Thank you. And where are you calling from, Janice?
Oh, I call from Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay, thank you, Janice PM in Massachusetts. And then we've got Vasa O, followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Vasa. Please share with us.
Good morning. I believe it's Lindsay. Thank you for your service.
Yes.
And I am Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And these are the promises. Oh, my goodness. I fought the food for 25 years of my life till I found Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm so grateful. I was just so grateful to finally find out what my problem was and what the solution could be if I worked it, you know, if I developed a relationship with my higher power and worked the steps the way they're laid out. And I continued and continued, and I still continue. And I don't do it perfectly, but when it comes to the food, I don't want to go. I never go back to those allergic food, my alcoholic foods that they're calling to. And it's so stuck in my head. I recoil. We seldom be interested in liquor. If we tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. And that's what I did at the beginning. You know, even when I came and became abstinent, the temptation, the obsession came back, but I recoil like putting my hand on that fire. And I'm just so grateful. You know, it worked because I didn't want to die. This food addiction was going to just kill me. And then God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I stayed abstinent, and the temptation just disappeared. I wish I could tell it was the third day or the fourth day or the tenth day. I don't know. It just was gone. I could not even bring food into my house, certain things that I wouldn't even hide them because my husband has no problem with the food addiction, so I wouldn't see it. Today, I can look at it. I can bake it. I can go in restaurants. I can go on cruises. I can go away in other countries. And I've done all this over my lifetime. And I recoil from those foods. And God is doing for me that I couldn't do for myself. And that's a miracle. This is the first promise that I got in the program, to put the food down and not to pick it up. And I can look at it. I see it at the grocery store. There's everywhere, parties and everywhere. It does not interest me any longer. And that is by the grace of God. It's called, this is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And I need to keep on doing. I've been doing for 40 years. And I love doing it. I love the sanity, not with just the food addiction, with my life in other areas. Because if I was into the food, forget I'd be dead today. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much. In Florida, and then we've got Lisa B, and I'll take another lineup after that. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Lindsay. Can you hear me okay? This is Lisa B.
Yes, we can.
Oh, great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in South Carolina. And this has just been so powerful the last few days, going through the 9-step promises, and then this thought brings us to step 10. And now these amazing step 10 promises. I wanted to focus, there's so many promises in the reading, but what I wanted to highlight for myself that has been so powerful lately is, and we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. So to me, that speaks of step 2, you know, being restored to sanity. And I love the other words, you know, the synonyms for sanity, and stability always means in a way so much more to me than sanity. I've been restored to stability. If I do the work in steps 1 through 9, God will do the miracle process, you know, but I have to do the work. And when I leave myself available, when I make myself available to God by doing this work of step 10, I make myself available to sanity and stability. And my actions demonstrate my willingness to be helped. Like, I'm not just moaning around like, oh, I'm in trouble. No, what are the actions I'm taking? My actions are going to demonstrate my willingness to be helped. And this is the promise that happens, like that I'm going to cease fighting. And I'm always reminded, I'm confronted with this. I love that this is a 24-hour process. You know, it's one day at a time. I have hope for a better day today, one day at a time, you know, 1 minute at a time, that I have to cease fighting. And sometimes I just am in the fighting mode of, I don't like what's happening. I didn't want that person to say that to me, or I didn't want that event to happen or this change to happen. And I've got to do the work, you know, of this process, this work that I've learned in 1 through 9 for these promises to happen. And I can be more effective. And my growth in my higher power, you know, I'm growing and understanding. I'm understanding myself better of how I bring everything down on inside of me. It's like the problems are not coming at me. They're coming from within me in my reaction. So it's an amazing way of life. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for the neutrality with the food and with everything going on. So with that, I pass. Thank you. Oh, and by the way, I spell my name L-E-S-A, just in case anyone wants to find me. I pass. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. in South Carolina. And then before we take our next lineup, I will just remind everybody where we are in the book this morning. So we're in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 84. The third paragraph, and we have ceased fighting ending as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And we're commenting on that one paragraph. So who else would like to share?
Roy C. from New Jersey.
Gotcha, Roy.
Amy G.
Amy.
Ann M., North Carolina.
Yvette L. Yvette. Okay, got the Yvette. Well, got time for more.
Hi, Kathleen in Illinois.
Kathleen, I gotcha. All right, so let's start with that group, Roy C., followed by Amy G., Ann M., Yvette L., and Kathleen. So, Roy C., please go ahead and share with us.
Hi, this is Roy C. from New Jersey, and shout out and thanks to Troy C. in Florida for shouting out to me. I'm a compulsive overeater, and the reading today is something that I'm familiar with from being in the program for a while, and it's been granted to me a kind of neutrality that means that I find the same comfort from foods that are not alcoholic, that don't do me harm. I find the same comfort from things that are healthy and abstinent and according to the program as I did from those foods that weren't. And it's a blessing that only comes through doing the program one day at a time and keeping coming back. And with the help of other people out there in the program, they're from all over the world, as is attested by this group in the morning. We hear people from all over, and I shout out to all my friends all over the world for helping me to find this neutrality and to find comfort in the program of Overeaters Anonymous. It's been a great thing, and I'm going to keep coming back, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Roy C. in New Jersey. And then next up is Amy G., followed by Ann M. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Fabulous meeting. I'm going to piggyback, I guess, on what people are saying as well. This whole idea of neutrality, to me, that alludes to the fact that there is a war going on. And this disease of compulsive overeating is a war. And if you had asked me to cease fighting, I wouldn't have known how to do that. I thought the only way to do was to continually fight this disease with my willpower and anything else I could, because I didn't know any different. And this war devastates, you know, war is about devastation and death and destruction and decimation. And that's what this disease did to me. And I'm so grateful. So to me today, it's a shout out to my higher power, to God, for doing for me what I could not do for myself. I was placed in a position of neutrality that I could not have done by myself. Like others have said, it's a process of work on my part. I was a foot soldier, if you will, putting the food down and working these 12 steps like my hair's on fire, because I wanted out of the war, but I didn't know how to get out. And this program has taught me, these 12 steps have taught me why I'm in the war, because of who and what I am, a compulsive overeater with a physical allergy and a mental obsession, that I had a spiritual malady, a hole in my soul that I tried to fill with a knife and a fork. It taught me who and what I am, and more so, it taught me that I lacked power. And the only way I would be put in a position of neutrality was to access that power. And by the grace of God, through that process, God put me in a position of neutrality now, where never in my wildest dreams did I think there would come a time that food would not call to me one way or the other. And gratefully, that's where I sit. I sit in the eye of the storm, if you will, in the middle of the war with no problem whatsoever, because I work steps 10, 11, and 12. I have an active program. I know what my job is and what I'm supposed to do and my purpose. And when I do so, the food does not call. And that is absolutely a miraculous thing, that I am no longer in the devastation and the war of compulsive overeating. How incredible and miraculous is my God and the power that my God has if I stay connected. Such an incredible thing, and I'm so incredibly grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Amy G. in Maryland. And next up, we've got Ann M., followed by Yvette L. Hi, Ann. Good morning.
Hey, this is Ann M. in North Carolina. And thank you, everybody, for this meeting. I am grateful this morning to be here and to be solidly in recovery. And yeah, these are great promises, and I'm not quite sure what moved me. God moved me to share this morning. But this part about, we feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I think that was the line that I really wanted to highlight. It is amazing to me. I genuinely am amazed that the God of my understanding, Gomu, as I call it, that Gomu has placed me in this position, and I am safe and protected from the destruction that I was wreaking on my life with food. Food was a symptom of what I was doing. It was not the problem itself. It was a symptom of the problems. And as I worked the steps, as I found the spiritual solution, which has taken lots of time and continues to this day, but as I continue to work on diving deep into layers of myself, that God gives me safety and protection from choosing that particular symptom to hurt myself with. And it is a safety that I don't have to fight. I don't have to white knuckle. I don't have to resist actively. I do my plan. I speak with my sponsor. I do the work. I do my prayers. I do my meditation and the results come. And as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, and that's the other miracle of this program, is that there was a time when I scoffed at that whole concept that this program is a spiritual program. And I had trouble with that. And I was amazed that that has been a result for me, that I have indeed experienced a spiritual awakening as the result of working these steps. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne M. from North Carolina. And the next up is Yvette L., followed by Kathleen. Good morning, Yvette, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. My name's Yvette L., and I'm calling from Connecticut, and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I love, you know, these particular 10-step promises, and my experience of it was exactly the way it said. You know, I was placed in a position of neutrality, not by myself. Like, I didn't do it. I couldn't do it. I wanted to think I could for many years, but I didn't. But when I recognized that the obsession with food was gone from my mind, I clearly recognized that I didn't do that because I know where my footwork was at that point. You know, I, you know, was making my amends. I was trying to figure out what the heck is a 10th step and how do I do that? You know, what's my morning routine? What's my evening review look like? All of that. That's where my footwork was focused. And then one day, and it was probably gone before I even recognized it, one day I recognized that I was no longer obsessed with food. And this obsession had been with me for, you know, for decades, for most of my life, and it was gone. And so I did recognize that the only thing that had done that was this power greater than myself, this creative intelligence, this spirit of the universe, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't me, I know that, and I didn't do it. And so my response, and this was several years ago when I recognized that my thinking about food had been restored to sanity. And that doesn't mean I get to eat the alcoholic foods. You know, I still got that allergy and that's not going away. But I don't want to do that anymore. And that's the true miracle. My response, the gratitude that's in my heart as a result of that grace is to help, to do what I can to help the next sick and suffering person, because I know that, you know, this is available for anybody that does the work. There's a lot of us that don't do the work. I didn't for decades. You know, I was in these rooms for 25 years before I followed and followed the instructions. So I know it is possible, and so I do what I can to help. I can't help everybody, but I know I can help, and that's what I try to do today. You know, I do try to bring the vision of God's will into all my activities. Not my will, because, you know, all I do is create chaos and unmanageability on my own. I don't mean to do that, but that's what I do. So God's will in my life and my experience has been better, so I try to do that the best I can each day. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Yvette L. in Connecticut. And then we've got Kathleen in Illinois. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, everyone. It's Kathleen in Illinois. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered bulimic and grateful to have the fearlessness to hit star one. I hardly ever do this. I think I've done it once before. So I've been listening for a couple of years and just grateful for everyone who shares consistently and for all the people that take the service positions that are needed to make this meeting happen. I'm so grateful for that. I was at a 10-step meeting last night, and the word that keeps sticking in my head is repetition. And there's a part of me that resists doing the same thing every day over and over again. I don't know if I get bored with it or I just think, oh God, this is stupid. It's not going to work. And I just give up. And, but it's the repetition of doing this exact thing every day that makes it possible for me to have hope
I had a long string of abstinence and I lost it, and I still believe that I can get it back. I feel it right now sitting in this meeting with you guys and listening to everyone. And but I've been living in a lot of fear, and so I've been just journaling about fear and sharing about fear. I do have to get out of my shell and talk to people. That's the other thing I've been doing, really isolating. And so I went to a live meeting last night, found a place, drove 30 minutes to get there and made sure I got my seat, my buttons. You know, I have to do all these things every day. And so, and I have to believe that that will work. And I do believe it will work. So just so grateful. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to share. You know, I do have to do this 10 step every day. And I do believe, and that's really all I have today. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Kathleen. And what's the first initial of your last name?
F as in Frank.
Okay.
And Kathleen is spelled with a C. Yep.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, Kathleen F in Illinois. So we have time for two more shares. Who else would like to share this morning?
Adrian N, Florida.
Gotcha, Adrian.
Vanessa G.
Joanne P.
I've got Adrian and Vanessa, and if you could each take 2 minutes, that would be perfect. So Adrian N, please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, I'm calling from Florida. Yeah. I really don't want to share, because when I share, I want to sound perfect. Mm-hmm. I want to sound recovered. I want to sound godlike.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not me today. I am really struggling to hold on to my abstinence. Food has lit up again for me, and I just want this and I want that and I want the other thing. And it's really, really hard to stay in abstinence when all I want is everything that's not abstinent. And I don't know how to get it back. I'm close. I got more of a concept of God than I've ever had before. And yet I'm struggling. And I'm holding on, what is that like, with my fingernails? You know, it's really hard. And maybe by saying it, it'll become easier. But it's like, I so want everybody to think that I'm perfect, and I'm just not. I'm really in soup here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Adrian, in Florida. And then Vanessa G., you will be our last share this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. You know, I go to a lot of meetings, and in those meetings, most of them, especially the face-to-face meetings, close with the 9-step promises. But this promise, this miracle paragraph, this miracle promise is the one that got me here and kept me here. I really, really am so grateful for my new attitude towards my compulsive overeating, towards my trigger foods, towards my alcohol foods. I just, it's a miracle. And listening to everybody else's miracle just gives me hope every day. Listening to all of you, letting me know that there is a miracle available here for me, that I can be placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Oh, that feels so good. It just feels so wonderful. And hopefully I will always react that way as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition. I pray every day for God to enter my life and show me how to live his way of life. And in return, I get this. What a miracle. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning and to Team Thursday for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, March 20th, is 22,273. So that's 22273. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tony B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Lindsay. Tony B. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until